This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Welcome back, folks. It's Friday, April 26th. Born on this date in 1916, former Detroit Tigers pitcher, the late Virgil Trucks of Birmingham. In 1945, Wet Willie singer and harmonica player Jimmy Hall, born in Birmingham and grew up in Mobile. And in 1980, actor Channing Tatum, originally of Cullman. Also, it's National Pretzel Day. That comes from a declaration by former Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell. They go well with mustard and night ball games. We're going to talk about how Alabama players fared in the NFL draft's first round, a federal abortion rule that's been met with opposition from some states, including ours, and updates on deceased inmates and their missing organs. Then we'll have another talk segment. Statewide high school sports editor Ben Thomas joins us to tell us more about that attempt to fire Rush Probst that just kind of fizzled. I'm Mike Morgan, and we're down in Alabama. Four football players who had starred inside the state of Alabama were drafted in the first round of the NFL draft on Thursday night, reports Mark and Abinett. Quarterback Bo Nix played high school ball at Pinson Valley and played his first three college seasons at Auburn. He was taken at number 12 by the Denver Broncos. Before that, the Los Angeles Chargers picked Alabama offensive tackle J.C. Lathan with the seventh pick. Two other Alabama players went in the first round. Linebacker Dallas Turner to the Minnesota Vikings at number 17 and cornerback Tyrion Arnold to the Detroit Lions at number 24. The Lions are into Crimson Tide players, by the way. This is the third year in a row that Detroit has traded up in the draft and ended up using the pick to select an Alabama player. The Lions drafted wide receiver Jameson Williams in 2022 and running back Jahmyr Gibbs in 2023. Last week, the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission expanded its definition of pregnancy, childbirth, or related medical conditions to include abortions in the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. Now, the change, which the EEOC says is consistent with Title VII and court decisions, means that most employers of 15 or more people are required to provide reasonable accommodation for workers seeking an abortion. The EEOC says it does not require employers or company health plans to cover costs. It also said that while leave must be offered, it doesn't have to be paid leave. The new rule is expected to go into effect on June 18th. Now, AL.com's Howard Koplowitz reports that Alabama and 16 other states have filed a lawsuit over those new rules. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall and others argued that the EEOC can't change the law that was passed by Congress that providing accommodations for the health of pregnant women and babies was a bipartisan effort, but facilitating abortions isn't. Alabama border states Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia are also among the 17 states involved in the legal action. Brandon Clay Dotson's heart was never found, reports AL.com's Ivana Rinkew. The 43-year-old man died at Ventris Correctional Facility in November, and an autopsy was performed on his body. The body was returned. Dotson's family, aware of some of the horror stories that have been reported about Alabama's prisons, hired a private pathologist to do a second autopsy, and that pathologist discovered his heart was missing. So the family filed a lawsuit against Alabama's prison system, the Department of Forensic Sciences, and UAB Medical Center. Without any details, however, a U.S. district judge has dismissed the case after the family and state filed a joint stipulation of dismissal. Dotson's is not the only body of an inmate that is reportedly turned up, surprisingly, with organs missing. So, on Thursday, the Alabama House of Representatives passed a bill that would make it a felony for a medical examiner to take organs without consent of next of kin. Now, that's already against the law. But this bill that passed the House adds a Class C felony penalty to the crime. That makes it punishable by 1 to 10 years in prison. The bill is by Chris England, a Tuscaloosa Democrat, and it passed 89-1 and will move to the Senate. Y'all stay with us. We'll be right back with Ben Thomas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey, thanks everybody for coming back. We have Ben Thomas with us. He is the high school sports editor for AL.com. Now, that's a big job. There are a lot of schools in Alabama, as Ben can tell you. Welcome aboard, Ben.
Thanks, Ike. Thanks for having me, man. Hope you're doing well.
Sure. Yeah, we're doing all right here. Well, just as you thought high school sports seasons may be slowing down a little bit, we got some pretty fiery news out of Pell City. I don't know if fiery is the right word, but well, actually it's close to the right word because the Pell City Board of Education had on their agenda to fire Rush Probst, the as famous a high school football coach as I think you can just about have in this part of the country. And it just never came to a vote Wednesday. Can you tell us, give us a little more background on that, Ben? Explain to us what happened Wednesday morning.
I could try. Like, it was a strange deal. I mean, I don't know if I've seen anything quite like this before. I mean, Coach Probst has only been at Pell City a year. He was hired last year to replace Steve Mashkin as head coach. The Panthers went 1-9, but they haven't had a lot of success. They were 1-9 previously. I think they're 14-46 or something like that since 2018. So it's been a struggling program in the last decade or so. And so, you know, to fix that, you bring in Rush Probst, who, you know, say what you will about him, is the ultimate winner. I mean, multiple state championships, I think 5 at Hoover in his tenure there, 2 more at Colquitt County in Georgia. What he's done in the win-loss column is undebatable. You can debate a lot of things about Coach Probst, but you can't debate that. So they bring in Coach Probst. They want a winner. What happened this week was just strange. I mean, they called, basically what happened on Tuesday is the superintendent called a special meeting Wednesday at 8 a.m. for the Board of Education. All they said Tuesday was it was to talk about personnel matters. But based on what was happening on social media, they had a protest in support of Rush Probst on Tuesday afternoon. It was pretty clear that the meeting centered around Rush Probst. And as it turned out, 8 minutes before the meeting, Ike, they released the agenda to the rest of the board members, and there were a couple of topics on it, but the two main topics were the non-renewal of Rush Probst, head football coach, and his wife, Stephanie, the 12-month secretary. And the weird thing about this agenda was also on the bottom of it, it had an approval for an interim football coach effective that day, you know, April 24th, to take over for Coach Pro. So you have all that stuff there. We had a reporter at the meeting. It started. Two of the councilmen, Greg Crump and Norman Wilder, spoke for about 15 minutes combined passionately about in support of Coach Probst and what he has done for the program and, you know, the attitude that he's brought to the program, even though it hasn't translated in victories on the field yet. And there was a huge crowd. Like, I don't know if you saw some of the pictures that Evan Dudley sent in, but, I mean, a packed house in the boardroom. Nobody else could find a seat there. So they speak passionately on behalf of Coach Probst and what he's brought to the football team and the high school. They kind of seemingly threw the other board members and definitely threw the superintendent under the bus. I mean, they basically, Norman Wilder asked for, instead of voting on Rush Probst, I think we should ask for the resignation of James Martin, who was the superintendent. And Crump seconded that, and that it didn't come to a vote on that particular issue or anything like that. And we don't know exactly what may happen there going forward. But they finally, after about 20 minutes, get to the agenda. They took a vote on something, which seemed to be the approval of the agenda overall, and voted 3-2 something. And then the superintendent, Dr. Martin, brought up, all right, the first action item, number 4, non-renewal of Coach Rush Probst and wife Stephanie. And there was just silence there. And so you could hear like the crowd kind of saying, wait, what happened? What's going on? And what happened was there was not a motion or a second on the motion. So they never voted on it. So I assume that basically is like a 5-0 vote to keep him, because nobody even voted on the motion. So once the crowd, hugely supportive, I mean, I don't know if there were any people who were detractors there or not, but once somebody finally in a microphone identified there was not a second motion, so it wasn't voted on, he stays, basically, he remains the coach. Huge applause, hugging in the crowd, and you know, so basically all that said, Rush Probst, despite a clear attempt to oust him as the head football coach at Pell City, is still the head football coach at Pell City. And in my mind, his position is stronger now than it probably ever been.
Yeah, it seems like it certainly would be difficult to go back and try to do this again. I mean, you talked about how they really got their ducks in a row, sort of, to get this done with even bringing in an interim coach, yet no one would speak, you know, would bring the motion up. You think they were pressured by that crowd, by that big crowd? Now suddenly they have to back what they're doing?
I can't read their minds, but you would have to think so. I mean, you have to think they were thinking, man, what are we going to do if we vote him out against this crowd? Are we going to be able to get out of here? Clearly the superintendent, I mean, you would have to think that he thought he had the votes to accomplish this, or he wouldn't have brought it up. You know, the weird thing was none of the other three board members who I assume he thought were going to vote in favor of the non-renewal spoke at all. Now, I understand you can't come out with a bunch of accusations that you can't prove and you can't slander anybody, but you would have thought if they felt passionately about it, they may have said something about the climate or whatever they felt like was the reason they needed to bring this to a vote. But they never said anything after the two dissenters spoke. And it came to a vote and wasn't seconded. And so, yeah, you have to feel like the superintendent thought, wait, what just happened here? Because, you know, I thought we had the votes and then it didn't even come up for a motion. So you just wonder, where do they go going forward? I mean, like I said, I feel like Coach Probst is in a stronger position now at Pell City than he's been in the last year, because unless there's, you know, some specific reason for him not to be there, his support would seem to be stronger than ever. But clearly they're going to have to, you know, the board and the superintendent, there's going to have to be some unification there. I hate it personally, because I have family roots in Pell City. My dad grew up in Pell City, played football in Pell City. We actually think he may be the oldest living Pell City high school football player. He'll be 92, God willing, in June. And so some of his family roots are still there. His sister's still there, his niece. I just hate to see the community that divided over this issue, and I don't know I'm not sure how you get unified now.
Yeah, and the representation at that meeting also was likely very heavily Probst inside people. You know, you had players at there, you had, you know, people who came out to really support him, so there still could be huge division. It also may show an underestimating of the power of a high school football coach who has the skill set to reach players and change lives and win ball games, which, you know, one person after another will tell you that Rush Probst has done. That was interesting to me in your stories, some of the parents who spoke so strongly about the coach and what they've done for their kids in just 1 year.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. And it's always kind of been like this with Coach Probst. I've known him for a long time, and you always seem to have a camp of supporters who 100% for him, and also a camp of supporters who are critical of him, and not much in between. I mean, you don't have really anybody on the fence, it seems like. I know there are detractors out there. I mean, obviously there are. This would have never come up. But I haven't heard from any of them. It's hard to throw stuff out there and go on the record if you have something and you can't prove it. So there's no question there's divisiveness. I mean, certainly there are people there that don't know the way it's trending, but the vocal people, at least this week, have all been supporters of it. And, they've come out on, Coach, I talked to Coach Probst right after this vote, and he had the right attitude. He's like, well, we're going forward. I'm glad to be the coach here. We're going to turn this thing around. It's going to take time. And I asked him, I was like, hey, you feel like this is over? And he's like, I think I'm good. So, where they go from here, if they win, do they start winning more games and everything, and more people are unified? There's still going to be, I believe there'll still be some people who think we don't need Rush Probst here. But if they start winning, maybe that eases things.
Yeah. From a distance, Coach Probst has gotten attention for either winning the state championships or controversy. So you're right. I think it kind of pushes people way into one side or another. Those have been the big attention getters. Now, about 20 some odd years ago, Coach Probst was as recognizable and as famous a high school coach as you could have anywhere in the country. And he was here in Alabama at Hoover High School. Now, since then, he's moved from a job to another, with controversy coming up a time or two. Can you give us just a really quick overview of Probst's backstory coming into this?
Yeah, man, obviously, we all know him from Hoover. He won 5 state championships at Hoover. He really built that Hoover program into what we know it is today and has been. And then Josh Niblett took over and continued to win state championships there. He left there in controversy, personal controversy, as the Birmingham News did a good job of reporting on years ago in 2008, 2007 or 2008. Went to Georgia and continued to be successful. Took a job at Colquitt County, Georgia, built them into a power. Ended up leaving there. I think it was there for 11 years. Won a lot of ball games. Won 2 state championships. They ended up dismissing him and bringing him up on, Georgia Professional Standards Commissions. And so he left that job. He was later, his teaching certificate was later reinstated, and he felt vindicated there. He maintains today that, he didn't do anything wrong there. He went to Valdosta. He sat out for a year, went to Valdosta, which Valdosta is, the Alabama of high school football, basically. I mean, that is one of the most well-known national championship programs in the nation. He took over that program. He's only there 1 year. Again, controversy found him. They accused him of recruiting. They were sanctioned for recruiting and some other issues, and had to forfeit all 12 of their games there. And so he left Georgia. He was out of coaching for a couple of years, had a couple of health scares, honestly, but came back over to Alabama. His son played high school football at Piedmont High School. And so for 2 years, he just was a parent watching his son play at Piedmont. And then he got back into coaching in Alabama. Weirdly, he took a couple of jobs. Well, he took the main job. He took a job as an assistant head coach at Coosa Christian, which is a school in the Gadsden area. But before he could coach a game there, the Pell City job came open, and they hired him at Pell City. So that brings us to where we are today. They went 1-9 last year, won another game, but they had to forfeit a game due to an eligibility issue, transfer issue. So they won 2 games, but they definitely took a step up in competitiveness. They were competitive in a lot of games, had a chance to win more games, and I think we'll continue to do so. So the program on the field is clearly going in the right direction if they can somehow find a way to unify everybody at the school and in the town behind it.
All right. Well, Ben, I really appreciate you doing this. I'm gonna tell a story on you a little bit. I don't know if you remember this, but it's a funny story that I've told people in our business. The first time I met Ben Thomas, my newspaper had been sold to another company, and we won't talk about companies. They all do their different thing. But I was up that night at the newsroom until about 3:30 a.m. just trying to figure out where's my job going to go, how's, you know, that sort of thing. And I looked and I was in one state capital and Ben was in another. And I thought, well, they're a similar newspaper to us. And there's this other sports editor. We were both sports editors. I'm going to send him a note and say, hey, what can I expect? I sent him that email about 3 a.m. Within 3 minutes, I got a reply because Ben was at the newsroom, and his response, well, you're off to a good start if you're at the newspaper still. So I've always loved to bring that up. That's a sports editor's lament, I think. Ben, I appreciate you coming on.
Okay, always good to talk to you, man. Glad we're both still in the business in a different way at this point.
Yeah, how about that? And thanks, everybody, for listening to us. We will be back on Monday. Until then, y'all come on by and see what we're doing on the internet at al.com.